in this conversation that St. Luke recounts for us, we should all recognize a familiar pattern in the way the conversation even starts, with observations and speculations about those people, something that might be close to home for us. In this situation, those people are the ones who had come from Jesus' home region of Galilee as pilgrims to Jerusalem and who were killed in the temple while they were offering sacrifices. And now you get the impression that there's been a conversation that happened before this starts, because clearly when people brought that news to Jesus about those people who died, they have had a lot of conversation too about why do you think that happened? And along the way, there had to be speculation that perhaps those people brought this upon themselves. Maybe they did something to make God really angry with them. Maybe they did something to stir up this righteous wrath. There's got to be a way of understanding this, making sense out of it, I'm sure they thought. And at that point, someone else probably piped up and said, yeah, and what about those people in Jerusalem who died when the towers fell on them? Do you think they did something wrong to deserve that? In that way of seeing, the way people make sense out of this world is always to be able to draw a line between suffering and some person or persons responsible for that. And then we can kind of feel like we've understood it better. I even think about how close to home this is in perhaps a lot of conversations that have happened in the past few weeks about those people in Washington, D.C. who have brought on this sequester, which is now in effect. Those people, that's something that we have heard a lot from them as well. In fact, almost every conversation about this in Washington, D.C. starts out with those people on the other side of the aisle who are responsible for what's happening. Those people who just follow their own agenda. Those people who don't in any way see the possibility for another way, another possibility. Those people who are just in it for themselves and their own political agenda. It's part of our conversation to think about that and to speak in that way too. But in this gospel for today, Jesus will have nothing to do with that way of describing reality. In fact, what Jesus does when people bring all of that into the conversation is Jesus, in fact, imposes what I would call a sequester on this group of people that's gathered with him. In Webster's dictionary, our English use of that word sequester is to set apart something, or even to cut off something or somebody, to sequester that. And if that's the case, I do think that that's what Jesus is doing as he's hearing all of this conversation from this crowd. Unlike the sequester that went into effect March 1st, Jesus is not sequestering or cutting off people. Jesus is not setting apart resources for people. Jesus is sequestering things that people do that are harmful to themselves and to others. The things that we do that hurt us in our life together. And first of all, I hear Jesus then sequestering, once and for all, this way of making sense out of suffering in the world that draws a straight line always between suffering and sin. There are all kinds of examples, of course, where human suffering is the direct consequence of human sin. We all know that. But the danger comes when that becomes the universal maxim for everything, that in every case, we have to connect suffering to the sin of someone or somebody or groups of people. And that is where I think we ourselves recognize that danger. And we're offended when people, for example, say that, well, those who died in hurricanes or earthquakes, they must have done something to deserve that wrath of God. But we fail to see perhaps how much that also becomes a part in less subtle ways, perhaps even of our own ways of seeing. We've been, in so many ways over these last months, seeking to become more aware of faith and family homelessness here in our own community. And part of what's been stirred up, I think, for us is how often there's been a direct line in people's minds between homelessness and something that people have done wrong. That's got to be the case with everyone. If they're homeless, there's really someone to blame there within their own family system that's done something wrong to bring upon that. There's got to be a straight line there. But when we do that, I think we come into those places where our failure to see and perceive the world in a new way brings us all into a place of suffering together. And that's why I think Jesus is also sequestering, cutting off or setting apart this tendency to always point the finger at others out there, those people who are the source of this problem. And with that, I think he's finally sequestering this aversion that we have to looking at ourselves, the aversion that we have to honest acceptance of our own place in all of this, and the poverty of our own way of thinking and perceiving and seeing the world around us. But that is what we are called to change. I think that's where Jesus says, you need to set apart that so that you might be able to turn to God, as we heard in that first reading for today. Jesus says, do you think that those people in Galilee, that they were somehow worse sinners than the others, and that's why they died? Or those people, when the power fell on them, that this all happened because somehow they deserved that more than others in Jerusalem? Jesus is requesting that and saying to them, look at your own life. Put the focus back on your own way of understanding and perceiving all of this and seeing the world around you, and repent. Repent. Or you will die in the same way that they did. There are all kinds of ways to understand, too, that Greek word that's translated as repent in our gospel reading for today. I especially like the way Matthew Skinner from Luther Seminary described it in a commentary that he wrote on this text, where he says, the word translated as repent is at its root about thinking and perception. It refers to a wholesale change in how a person understands something. It implies an utter reconfiguration of your perspective on reality and meaning, including a reorientation of yourself toward God. Your behavior might change as a result of this new perception, certainly, but repentance first involves seeing things differently and coming to a new understanding of what God makes possible. Jesus then, Skinner says, is promising an alternate perspective on the cycles of violence and pain and suffering. To miss out on this way of seeing, he says, to neglect to repent, is to miss out on other dimensions of our existence. It is to pass by one's purpose. In the parable that Jesus tells immediately following this conversation, passing by one's purpose could be understood as being like a fig tree that is bearing no fruit. I don't know how you hear that particular parable today, but I hear it as both law and gospel. The law is that I am like that fig tree, failing to bear the fruits of repentance that especially have to do with this wholesale change in my thinking and perceiving that reorients my life to God. But the gospel for me in this parable is that I have an advocate. Some may hear the parable and think of God as this owner of the vineyard, who comes and says, see here, I have waited 3 years for this tree to produce fruit, and still nothing? Cut it down. It's wasting the soil. But in my way of seeing this parable, God is that prodigal gardener, and especially God in Christ, who comes and says, let it be. let me continue to work with this. Give me another year. Let me fertilize the soil and till it. And in that way, we're given time to become what God has planted us here to be. In the end, we are all in this together. And the more we move from blaming to naming one another as neighbors, as brothers and sisters in Christ, the more then we do become like these fruit-bearing trees that are envisioned in this story. Trees that bear fruit, not just for our own lives, but above all, that bear fruit for a world hungry for a new way of being together, a new way of thinking and perceiving and living together as God's holy people. Thanks be to God. Amen.